welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is Mike and Eric at the helm, or we think we're back at the helm this week.
You're at the helm. I'm on weapons console.
Okay, just stop playing Space Invaders. Or was it Galaga?
It was Galaga.
Okay, I knew it was one or the other.
Stark catches me every time, too. I thought he wouldn't notice, but he did.
Yeah, he did. Did I have that drop? Anyhow, actually.
That man is playing Galaga. Thought we wouldn't notice, but we did.
There it is.
So, yeah, do have the drop.
Do have the drop. Excellent.
Do have the drop. So, unfortunately, since Stark caught you.
Okay, do him for him, too.
Okay, there we go.
A lot of news. We're recapping 2 weeks worth. So, yes, we are going to talk a little bit about the Avengers trailer. We're going to talk some Agent Carter. Going to talk the news that it's not a reboot. It's a restart with Secret Wars, which, oh my lord, is that going to be a mess?
No, the Fantastic Four movie is a mess. This is just going to be a mass recycling and renovation.
This is true. And we have Stan Lee's opinions on that. It looks like this week, just because of everything going on, we might have that illustrious bonus material at the end of the show.
Say that again.
Bonus material. You like the delay there?
There you go. It just makes it sound a little bit mysterious there.
So, I guess to get started... Agent Carter, of course, it was not on this week because of the President's State of the Union address, and we're not getting into that because that would be like saying which is better, Hydra or AIM. And,
yeah, well, no. My take on it is nobody capable of getting themselves elected president should ever be allowed to do the job.
This is true.
Thank you, Douglas Adams.
Yep. So,
That's as political as I get.
I pride myself being a moderate conservative, and even that gets me in trouble.
But the best thing about being a moderate is that you get to be a pain in the butt to both sides.
Exactly. So, so the fifth episode of Marvel's Agent Carter with Haley Atwell. Ooh la la. Let's see. Can I do the incoming Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Macho Man being elected this year. And, of course, we know him as Bonesaw's Ready from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I know, this probably sounded awful, like an awful impersonation.
Well, he looked kind of awful in that, too. I mean, it looks like he'd been embalmed by the same guy who did Keith Richards.
Yeah, oh, he was popping.
Yeah. But
getting back to Agent Carter.
Yeah, getting back to Agent Carter. I think anybody listening to this show can pretty much figure out that at least I know I got a serious celebrity crush on Haley Atwell. So, I'm okay with admitting that. You're on the air.
The upcoming episode is called The Iron Ceiling. It is episode 5, and Peggy is finally trusted with a mission and calls upon my favorite team, who deserve their own show themselves, the Howling Commandos.
Hey, freaking men.
About freaking time. Sorry, how can you not introduce the Howling Commandos without their song from Captain America, the First Avenger?
Everybody's got to have their theme music, and the Howling Commandos are no exception.
That music's great. I love
that
song.
Yes, I do seriously believe that a Howling Commandos movie or even, at this point, I will just take a heavy dose of Howling Commandos in Agent Carter. And looks like we're getting part of it because they're coming into this. So I want to see more.
You and I need to just sit down and write the scripts for 8 episodes. And go with the idea, like I've talked about. First 4 episodes starts off, we're seeing missions. Well, yeah, we could do it that way. First four episodes are missions of Cap telling Coulson stories of him, or during the time period that Cap was alive. Second half of the season is Coulson telling Cap stories of after he was put on ice. So
there you go.
Get a little bit of a mix, and you just keep going back and forth, and it's the adventures of the Howling Commando, or
oh yeah,
whatever. It's almost like Oh, what was that movie? Or what was that TV series? Monkey Island? No, not Monkey Island.
Tales of the Goat Monkey.
Yes. Something like that.
Yes.
Do something along that type of line. But you start off with Coulson and Cap, you know, reminiscing. Anyhow, getting back to Peggy, her cover could be at risk when SSR Chief Dooley sends Agent Thompson with her. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Howling Commandos, Agent Thompson. I don't see good things happening.
You know, at some point, I'm going to call this right now. I'm going to make this prediction. You're going to see Peggy Carter use her famous right hook on Thompson.
The sooner, the better.
I'm just, before this miniseries is up, that's going to happen.
I think so.
Because so many of these guys in the office are just, they're begging to be Peggy slapped. That's going to be my name for it, Peggy Slap, because Thompson is the type, I mean, he thinks with his fists a good bit.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And all right, and I'm going to go spoiler boy for those of you who may not have seen it already.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Am I the only one who just grinned when, I can't even remember the guy's name, when the agent who had the wife and the girlfriend got gunned down, got shot?
No, I kind of was thinking just desserts.
I was kind of like, yeah, this brute had it coming to it.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yes, that was a little mean of me to say that, but yeah.
Mean? Or you're not.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra!
No, I'm just thinning the herd a little bit.
Could we potentially see Hydra in Disney Infinity?
I don't think you see Hydra, but you'll definitely see some villains come out. As a matter of fact, they have come out. Three Marvel villains come out for Disney Infinity 2.0. The Green Goblin, the ultimate version of Green Goblin.
Oh.
Ronan the Accuser and Yondu, who I happen to have here.
I don't want to.
See? Look at me, boy! Look at me!
Oh, Yondu.
Yondu.
I thought you were using the redneck dictionary there. Yondu.
Yondu.
Yondu want to?
I'm telling you. All right, is there any further proof that you need that Michael Rooker is from Alabama?
No.
And I'm from Alabama as well, so I can point that finger.
Okay. Speaking of finger pointing, breaking as we are recording, I need that breaking news sound clip.
Oh yeah.
Hey Jarvis, can you work on that for next time?
For you, sir, anything.
Excellent. So hopefully next week and beyond we'll have some sort of breaking news soundbite. Three actors are joining X-Men Apocalypse as Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Storm. These three actors will be Alexandria Shipp will play Storm, Sophie Turner will play Jean Grey, and Ty Sheridan will play Cyclops. I like the choices for Storm and Jean. Definitely, I can see where they're going to tie into a younger look.
Yeah.
X-Men Apocalypse is going to be set in the 80s, which is a decade after X-Men Days of Future Past. And, of course, two decades before X-Men, the first film.
Yeah.
And the fans have been wondering who would fill the shoes of James Marsden, Halle Berry, and Famke Janssen. Bryan Singer put out a tweet, meet our new and brilliant young mutants, Alex Shipp, at Alex Shipp as Storm, at Sophie T as Jean Grey, and at Ty Sheridan as Cyclops.
I like their looks. I'm not familiar with their body of work acting wise, but as this is going to be primarily an action movie, I'm sure.
Right.
I'm sure they'll do fine.
Well, Ty Sheridan has earned accolades for his Tree of Life from 2011 and 2012's Mud.
Okay.
Tree of Life, I've heard of. Mud. Might as well put a stick in it.
Yeah. Well.
I haven't. Sophie Turner. Is best known as Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones. Yeah, I'm like four seasons behind.
Yeah, I am not very Game of Thrones savvy. I mean, I know the basic premise, and I want to get into it. I really do. I'm kind of slow in getting into shows, particularly when I know, hey, they're out on Netflix or
right. Alexandria Shipp. She has a very extensive TV resume, including Ray Donovan and ABC Family Switched at Birth.
Oh, okay.
So some Disney tie there. And will be seen in the upcoming NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton, which releases later this year.
Okay.
So... it will also star Michael Fassbender as Fassbender as Magneto, James McAvoy as Professor X, and Jennifer Lawrence back as Mystique, and of course Oscar Isaac making his X-Men debut in a character that's their suit's going to be part practical, part digital, and that of course is Apocalypse. So
that's kind of becoming the norm now, to where a lot of they're blending practical and CGI. I think that it's making things a whole lot easier.
Right.
And allowing them to be closer to actual comic book material.
Right. Well, everyone criticizes it, yet, you turn around and ask, did you like Tron? Did you like Tron Legacy? Well, some of that with the costuming. Well, maybe not with Tron, but with Tron Legacy, there's quite a bit of CG involved to enhance the lighting on the on the grid costumes. I'm not sure how much was involved with the costumes back in the first film, but I mean it happened. I mean it does happen.
It does happen, and really, if it's done well, you don't even notice it, or you accept it as just part of the movie. Like case in point, Lord of the Rings, where you would have Gollum, who is completely CG, Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy, and Groot both, completely CG.
Right.
But it's done well to the point we don't challenge it. We don't look at it as, well, that's clearly CG computer animation. No, in our minds, it's like, hey, that raccoon's got a machine gun, and that's cool.
Right. Well, I guess another prime example of one that's a mix of CG and practical that you could turn to is look at the Terminator series.
Yeah.
Especially like Robert Patrick. Oh, my Lord. I mean, that looked believable. I mean, the way it was done. Yeah, there were some practicals in there to help with, dimension and whatnot. But, I mean, the CG involved,
even have to look too far to it. Iron Man.
True.
The costumes are, the armor, well, that's pretty much CG.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr., he doesn't wear much of the armor during filming.
Right.
And so much of that is CG'd on.
And when you do see him in the full armor, and you see all the little intricate, the flaps and whatnot going, I mean, that's all CG.
Yeah.
Or a lot of that, as fast as they're moving, most of that's CG.
Yeah.
I would almost think most of that's CG. But speaking of Iron Man... during the, I don't know if it was a successful bowl championship game or college championship game or a failed first experiment at the process, we did see a trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron that was just mind-blowing.
Yes. And it showed something that I was looking forward to for quite a while, which, of course, we got it in the first teaser trailer,
right.
The Hulkbuster suit. And it's just it looks for all the world like Juggernaut.
Yep.
I mean, particularly the helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And we get to see it more in action. We get to see it more in action now in this trailer. And, it's kind of neat to see Hulk get thrown around like a ragdoll, too.
I'm curious to see Stark get into it so I can get a better idea of how is the body in it. Because obviously his feet are not touching the ground.
No.
Obviously his hands are not going all the way down.
No.
He's
pretty much in the torso.
Yeah, but I want to see how they show the mechanics initially.
Oh, you're going to see that. Of course, in every Iron Man and even the Avengers movie, you got to see him suit up.
Yeah.
In every way that they've had him suit up or suit out, it's been different, but it's all been cool.
Right.
So I have no doubt that this is going to be the same one.
Now, there are some other questions that are coming off this trailer. Why is everyone running in the beginning?
Something bad is happening.
Shawarma
outbreak? I'm pretty sure of that.
It's a shawarma outbreak?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it looks like, and of course, you can't make judgments like this. You don't know where this is in the movie.
Right.
This could be in the climactic battle scene. It could be right at the beginning of the movie.
Right. So, don't know Why is everyone running? Because something bad's coming, or is happening. Best answer we could give right now. Next, will we see a romance between Banner and Black Widow?
I don't know that I want to see a romance between those two. Mainly because I like the idea of the romance between Hawkeye and Black Widow better.
Right.
They're more kindred spirits.
I think the relationship I would put with Widow and Hulk, or Romanoff and Banner, is more that of like Beauty and the Beast type thing. Not the animated film, but you know, she's one who's able to help keep him calm, get through to him the most. I was trying to remember who the female is in the Jekyll and Hyde series as well.
Almost using
what's her name from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the vampire.
Oh, that would be Wilhelmina Hart.
Yes, like her role with Jekyll and Hyde in that series. I see them almost pulling that type of feel with it.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, and of course, as you brought up, who will win, Hulk or Iron Man?
Apparently, there is some clause in every Iron Man movie that he's got to battle some other good guy.
It's that WWE mentality.
It may be. And don't get me wrong, I loved seeing Iron Man and Thor like go at it.
Right.
So,
well, Hulk and Thor going at it was great too.
Yeah, Hulk and Thor going at it was pretty good.
Now, my question, based on that, on this question, is: are we going to see from the end of Rocky III, Creed, and you know, that's sort of like a Creed Balboa nod, where it's going, okay, ring the bell, ding ding, and then they go at it. Could we see that type of nod before this battle?
I don't know. It could be. It could be just. It could be a case of, hey, let's. Well, they were sparring,
right?
Because they wanted to see. They wanted to see that question answered between themselves,
right?
It wasn't about doing it for everybody else. They just wanted to see. They wanted to test each other,
right?
Test themselves, because they knew they were the best. They wanted to see. Well, let's just see what happens.
Now the last question is: where is the Vision? I'm sorry. This is one of those times I normally say there's not a stupid question. I don't harp on others for too much when they bring up something like that. But I'm gonna say it. Still teaser trailers. This is the one thing everyone wants to see. You wait. This is the last thing you reveal. You've already revealed it in the poster. Especially for
there's no need to reveal it in the trailer.
No.
No, there really isn't.
Absolutely not.
And this is going to help keep interest up in it, because you don't put that out there. If I were Whedon, or if I was Feige, or anybody else who had the authority to edit these trailers before they get released to the public, you'd not see the Vision. Period.
Oh yeah, I keep Vision out of it. I mean,
and that's
it's almost like keeping Yoda out of all the trailers initially for Empire.
Yeah,
with those original teasers. So another question that was brought up, but not there, is who's the woman in the cave?
I have a theory about that.
Okay, let's hear it.
And my theory, I wish I could claim this theory as my own, but this has already been put out there on the internet, but I think they're on the right track. One of the Black Panther's bodyguards. Don't ask me to pronounce the name of the group, but I mean, he's supposed to be, Black Panther is supposed to be introduced, not too long from now. I can't remember if it's supposed to be in Avengers or if it's in the next Captain America movie.
I know he's supposedly, according to the big presser, Phase 3 presser, he's supposed to make his appearance in Civil War, but they've also teased that he might actually be popping in a little sooner than that.
This could be an after credit scene.
It could be.
It could very easily be, and that would be the perfect time to introduce him. If you're going to do it before Civil War, that's where you do it. Kind of like where they introduced Thanos.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first Avengers movie.
Right.
But yeah, that's who I think this is either going to be one of his bodyguards or his sister who ultimately becomes the Black Panther.
Right. Well, so maybe this does lead some credence that maybe we might see Panther a little sooner. than Captain America.
I say that's a good thing. I say that's a good thing.
Just to break down the trailer a little bit before we take our break. The trailer opens with Hawkeye ushering people into the waiting Avengers transport, or we assume is the Avengers Quinjet. Presumably, he's trying to rescue them from something because we see someone who looks like Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch, fall and be left behind. Could this be why Wanda and Pietro are easy pickings for Ultron at the start of this their adventure?
It's
possible.
It is possible, but again, the problem with trailers is that they're not necessarily in chronological order.
Agreed.
This could be the scene where, it looks like she's falling off the back of the transport. It could be in the big battle scene close to the end. It could be somewhere in the middle, or it could very easily be at the beginning of the movie.
Right. And then, of course, you see everyone running. And whatever it is, whatever they're running from, it's this big red cloud. It's suspected to possibly be a T-bomb.
Which the T stands for Terrigen.
True.
Which means Inhumans.
Yep.
So, if you remember in the very first X-Men movie, Magneto's plan was to turn everybody in New York into mutants.
Yep.
So, who might, this could very easily be a similar ploy by somebody. It's like, oh, well, let's turn everybody in New York into Inhumans.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore setting up Civil War.
Well, and of course, after all this, Tony comes out and says, well, the world needs something more powerful than us. And I think this is where we potentially get the creation of Ultron, or the completion of the Ultron project.
That could be taken so many ways, though. Need something more powerful than any of us, okay? That could also refer to the Avengers themselves.
True.
As being,
the stronger the team, the more powerful they are.
Yeah. When they act as a team, they're more powerful than themselves on their own. It could be Ultron. It could be, for all we know, it could be Galactus. I'm just going to throw that out there. So this is the whole thing. This is the whole point of the trailer. It's supposed to tease us. It could be cheap Indian food for all we know.
Could be. So, obviously you can go online and get more detailed breakdowns on the trailer. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after these messages.
With the end.
This is the end.
No. Then it'll be the end.
Oh, okay.
This is just the middle.
Gotcha.
We'll have the end coming up later.
On that note, you're listening to Mike and Eric on Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipsters' defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio, version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike and Eric. Big announcement Tuesday. One that people went, what? I mean, literally, what?
You remember that REM song that says, "It's the end of the world as we know it and I feel fine"?
Yes.
I think that could have been the theme song for this announcement. At a press conference Tuesday afternoon, Marvel Entertainment confirmed that it will reboot its comic book universe during the Secret Wars event.
Now, wait. I thought they said it wasn't really a reboot. It was more of a restart.
It could be a restart. It could be a recycle. It could be a renovation. It could be just about anything.
Well, Marvel doesn't do like DC and reboot, which has been the ongoing
revamp
joke.
Might be a good
revamp.
Might
could be.
A good, yeah. Now, the first issue of the Secret Wars series will feature the end of the current Marvel universe. And it's going to be centered around a world called Battle World, which, for those of you who remember the old Secret Wars, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
It, from all descriptions, it sounds like where pieces of planets and Earth and other planets from various different dimensions and parallel universes in the Marvel Universe are pretty much just mashed together like a giant ball of Play-Doh. And it, according to executive editor Tom Brevoort, am I pronouncing that right? Brevoort? B-R-E-V-O-O-R-T.
I think so. If we're mispronouncing it, he could come on the show and tell us.
There you go. He can correct us in person. He says, "This is the melting pot from which the new Marvel Universe will be fermented." I don't know that I would use the word fermented. Forged
beer.
Might be better.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, he's got his own little, you know, whiskey still in his basement. He said, "It's difficult to imagine something that would be larger in scope and scale than Secret Wars." Editor-in-Chief Axel Alonso said, "This is putting an end cap on decades of stories." That, to me, says this is not just a reboot. This is a restart.
It is that well-aged Marvel Mark 616, 50 years of well-aged.
Yeah, this is a place where we'll be putting new pieces on the board and taking old pieces off. They're working with a lot of their licensees for this, you know, like Hasbro, Upper Deck, Hot Wheels. Yeah, they're, of course, this is all part of the merchandising part. Merchandising, where the true movie from the movie is made. thank you, Spaceballs. They're working on also developing more interactive content that's related to Secret Wars. And Brevor added, the Marvel Universe as you know it is done. I really don't know what to read into that other than they're going to just say, all right, it sounds to me like what Lucasfilm has done with their expanded universe.
Right.
And they're just saying, it's like, all right, here's all the stories that you know and love from your childhood. We're setting them aside. You'll still have that. You'll still be able to read and enjoy these. But we're going in new directions with everything.
Right.
So I'm kind of excited about that. And I'm not the only one, Mike, because Stan Lee himself has been asked about it. And he's pretty much fine with it. He said it's probably good. Anything they do that's unexpected and different usually captures the attention of the fans. People will want to follow it to see what happens and where it will lead. He says, and this is very important, I agree with him, Marvel cannot keep doing the same stories over and over again. You have to come up with new angles and new approaches to things. I think it's probably a good idea. It sounds intriguing to me. He says, of course he has an emotional attachment to the original Marvel Universe. That's understandable. He worked so much on it. He created so much of it. He said, but that doesn't mean I expect it to be that way forever. It might be better under this new approach. He said, I'm eager to see what might happen.
Now, do you think some of this is still throwing in the controversy or the conspiracy? Do you think some of this is also, too, to get back at Fox or Sony for, in a way, to try and get those properties back to Marvel Studios as well?
I'm not so naive as to say it. I don't think it has anything to do with it. But if you're restarting, if you are forging a new amalgam-based Marvel universe going forward, and I'm in charge of Marvel, I say, you know what? I'm not really going to have any Fantastic Four. I'm not going to have any Spider-Man. I'm not going to have any X-Men. Or won't have much.
Right.
I mean, there you have to also keep this to some degree of realism. Marvel wants to sell comic books.
Right.
People still want to buy Spider-Man comic books and X-Men comic books.
Right.
Fantastic Four. I'm sure there's some demand for it, but
I still see quite a bit on the shelves when I go to the store.
Yeah. I don't think that the demand is there as much as it used to be.
Right.
So this is a chance to accentuate the stuff that Marvel Studios has. Your Avengers, your Howard the Duck, your Doctor Strange. You're just the stuff that's not, how do I put this? You want to maximize your return.
Right.
And Marvel, I think, realizes they're not going to be able to maximize their return betting heavily on stuff that's franchised out to other theaters.
Right.
Other movie houses.
Now, the universes being affected by this is the Ultimate Universe and the 616 universe.
Okay.
So could we see, I guess the best way to put it, the Black Nick Fury become the new Nick Fury of the books?
I'm thinking that's probably going to happen.
It makes you wonder at this point in time how long Sam as Cap is going to be. With a new relaunch, unless that was a precursor to the relaunch, that after the relaunch, restart, whatever, Cap is still Sam Wilson. It's going to be interesting. I know Avengers is done after issue 44. I know New Avengers is done around the same time. Almost everything's done around April. So everything's being wrapped.
Everything's being wrapped because so Secret Wars can start May.
Right.
I mean, I think that's logical to expect, and I think that's a good move because that way you don't have the, well, surely this is going to continue.
Right.
I mean, this leaves no doubt that
I'm just going
in a new direction.
I'm just glad to see the Uncanny Universe is being left alone. You know, we'll get into it later, but I know... As far as I know, the Uncanny Universe is being unaffected by this. Because it seems like those titles... I haven't heard anything about any of those titles ending. Now, possibly renumbering, which again, we'll get to here in a little bit. But yeah, I don't know about completely ending. Everything I've been hearing has been Ultimate and the 616.
Well, you're probably going to have some fallout just about everywhere.
Right.
So I don't know that I could agree with you that Uncanny is not going to be affected, because we know if the Crisis on Infinite Earths is any indication, and I know it's not really a fair comparison,
right,
but you want to keep your story straight. And so right. I just envision that when they're saying the Marvel Universe as you know it is done,
they're all titles.
The changes are going to be pretty much universal.
On the hero side, I mean, obviously Star Wars is completely separate in all this.
Yeah, they're not in the same Marvel Universe. I mean, as cool as it would be to see Spider-Man with a lightsaber, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Right. Well, someone put out an article about what book, there's like five books that we need to see after Secret Wars is over.
Okay.
First, Thor Core.
I'm going to disagree with that one, but that's just because the only non-Thor Thor that I really liked was Beta Ray Bill.
Right.
I mean, you had, I want to say that was done before, the Thor Core, where you had like all the different Thors together. You had Dargo, who was like the 26th century Thor. You had Beta Ray Bill. You had Odinson Thor, the real Thor. And then you had like, God, what was his name? Eric Masters. That was him. He called himself Thunderstrike. That's what it was. And basically, he was like a guy who was, he was the interim Thor. And so last time I remember seeing him is kind of like, give him Thor's outfit, but give him like a leather jacket.
Right, right. The second book they mentioned, and I kind of agree with this. I definitely would consider buying into it. Drax the Destroyer, a solo title for him.
This version of Drax? Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, the old version of Drax the Destroyer, where he basically had the mind of a 5-year-old, not so much.
Right.
This version I can handle.
The third one they mentioned is Carnage, a Carnage title.
I could do without Carnage. I guess I got suffering from Venom overexposure.
Right.
And it's kind of like, yeah, just kind of not. Just so not into Carnage.
The fourth one, and we could take this cue from American Idol. Hercules, 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 Hercules.
Oh, dear Lord. sure, why not? Hercules, sometimes when companies like Marvel try to pull a figure out of mythology and folklore, they don't really stay true to the original legends, like case in point, Thor.
Right.
Hercules seemed to be a little bit closer to the legendary material. I mean, he was a carouser. He was, you know, he was looking for a good time as much as anything. And I kind of like that. So yeah, I could get behind that.
Okay. Well, the last book they mentioned is Fantastic Four.
No.
And here's their reasoning. This is from comicbook.com.
Okay.
Oh, come on. It's obvious. By the time Secret Wars has played out, the Fox movie will have come and gone, and it'll be pretty obvious where the public interest is. It is in the proper, where the public interest is in the property and what its short-term future holds. Good, bad, or indifferent, how long can Marvel really leave a book that with that much history out of print before it starts to lose some of its durability? Okay, this is where I come back with. This is a reboot. The past history is like with the Star Wars Expanded Universe. It's now legend if Marvel decides to go that way with it.
I totally agree with you on this. This restart means all the history, and they said it, this is putting an end cap on decades of stories.
Right.
So, yes, the Fantastic Four has been around since the early 60s. Big freaking deal.
Right.
You know, this is where I would say I'm the head of Marvel. My ultimate goal is to get the Fantastic Four back under the Marvel Studios banner. If it means keeping Fantastic Four off the shelves, off the comic book shelves, to, you know, we know we can build interest back.
Right.
You know how I know? You know how we know we can do this? Simple. Iron Man. He was a B-lister. Now
Guardians.
He's an A-list. Guardians of the freaking galaxy. We took a list of losers, also-rans, and hangers-ons, and we made them gold.
Yep.
Yes, we can afford to let Fantastic Four sit in the vault, and then when we get the rights back, boom, this is where we play on the history. This is where we play on the interest. We know we can build that interest back.
Right, right. Well, speaking of comics, at the time of this recording, it is 100 days to Free Comic Book Day. And Marvel's got two offerings on the table. In the gold tier will be Secret Wars number one. In the silver tier will be Avengers number one. So I'll have to see how that plays out. But if we're talking about New Comic Book Day or Free Comic Book Day, we might as well talk about New Comic Book Day. And it is that time of the show. Comic Book Shop! Hey, ho, let's go. So we are going to bring you this week six picks for New Comic Book Day for January 28th, 2015. And Eric, why don't you start off?
Okay, my first pick of New Comic Book Day will be the all-new Invaders number 14. The Return of Toro. Thomas Toro Raymond emerges from his inhuman cocoon with new powers and new enemies. Can Jim Hammond, Namor, and the new Captain America, Sam Wilson, help their colleague through his dangerous rebirth? Will the British invaders Union Jack and Spitfire, along with Winter Soldier, solve the mystery of the Martian invasion? Guest starring Till Raven and the Inhumans.
Wow. Well, my first pick this week is Uncanny Avengers number one. That's right. I did say Uncanny Avengers number one. From the ashes of Axis, an all-new, all-different Avengers assemble. The tragedy at the end of Axis has left the Uncanny Avengers vulnerable, and someone is taking advantage of it. One of the Avengers' oldest foes returns with a terrible secret that will all hibobably... it's late enough. I can't talk. I'm stumbling. Will shatter the life of two members of the squad. What is Counter-Earth? What terrible secrets does it house? Hopefully not the Fantastic Flop movie. That's all I got.
Oh, there you go.
So your second pick for the week.
My second pick is Spider-Man 2099 number 8. And when the 2099 universe came out, this is probably the one title of the bunch I never, ever got. I was a big fan of Doom 2099, followed Punisher 2099 pretty well. Even X-Men 2099 was not too bad. I just never got into that, and I'm regretting it now. But that's okay, because we've got the new, we got number 8 right here, written by Peter David, one of my all-time favorite writers for comics. Spider-Man 2099 and Lady Spider must reunite with the rest of the spiders in time for the final battle against the Inheritors. Who will survive the Spider-Verse? Will Miguel finally be able to return home? And by home, do we mean 2099 or 2014?
Ooh. Speaking of Peter David, I'm actually working on trying to get him on the show.
I think I would name a child after you, or at least a new pet, if you were able to pull that off.
We'll have to see what I can do.
Okay.
My second pick is Deadpool number 41. Deadpool's been through a lot recently. Oh, my brain's jumping ahead of my mouth. He needs to relax. Time for a good old-fashioned simple merc job. Deadpool is in the Middle East. Should be nice and uncomplicated. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on to that dream as long as you can.
So your number 3 pick for the week.
My final pick for the week is Thor number 4. The Odin son is back, and he clearly doesn't like that someone else is holding his hammer. You know what that means, right? Thor versus
Thor. A little wink,
Thor.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, yeah. Thor versus Thorette. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And there's some cool variant covers on it, too.
Well, that's
cool. Actually, by some, I mean one, but it looks pretty cool.
Cool. My last pick is from former guest of the show, Joe Caramagna. It is Marvel Universe Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors number 3. Of course, this is kind of like an adaptation of the TV series, but the work he does is amazing with the Marvel Universe line. A lab experiment at Stark Industries goes horribly wrong, putting the entire city in danger. Spider-Man teams up with Iron Man to confront the unstoppable threat. And I thought about it. I'm going to kind of bring it back as well. Do it once a month instead of trying to do it weekly. A pick from Marvel Unlimited. know, it's the library of over 15,000 Marvel titles that's available to you for either $9.99 a month or $69.99 for a year, or you can go the ultimate package of $99.99, which with that you get special access to Marvel Unlimited events at like San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, wherever else Marvel might be. I think C2E2 as well. You also get other perks with it, plus a cool custom Marvel short box. I think for a while they were doing like a gold-plated Ultron, like Unleashed figure. So my pick for the month of January that I would say, you know, definitely go check out. I started getting into it. Guardians of the Galaxy number one from the 2008 series, or from the 2008 run. It was first published on May 14th, 2008. It was written by Andy Lanning. It's back-to-back Annihilation Wars have weakened the boundaries of our universe. In the face of terror, who stands to defend a desperate universe? Star-Lord and his squad of butt-kickers, the modern-day Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to bring that back. It'll be a monthly recommendation because it allows people who don't have Marvel Unlimited that chance to get it. Maybe if you don't want to do a Marvel Unlimited, you could go to Comicology or Marvel.com through their app and get the digital books themselves, because this book does sell for $1.99 if you want to buy it. So yeah, I'm going to start reintroducing that, and I can't wait for the Star Wars titles to come on to Unlimited.
Same
that
here.
That will be, that right there will be worth its weight in gold. So, well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Or will it? On the Sorcerer Radio side, this is going to wrap it up for this week. But we've got more. And how are you going to hear more? You're gonna have to
please tell us.
You're going to have to go check out weebiegeeks.net or wait for iTunes and Stitcher and get the bonus material in the podcast. There was just that much news, and we're still not done. But for the sake of Sorcerer Radio, I think it's time for us to go dark. So, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Are our listeners still here?
Let's hope so.
Hey, Jarvis, did you get access for us?
Level 7 access.
Yes! We are accessed and ready to go. So, welcome. Bonus material. I don't know if that's the right term for something like this.
Extended version.
I don't know. I'm almost thinking, welcome to Level 7 access. Might be the more proper thing to do.
Okay, this, sure, why not?
I mean, it is bonus material for the podcast side of things. It's almost like hitting the level 7 vaults or getting access to level 7. So, welcome to level 7. And how can we not go? The only thing I can think of, first story right off the bat that we need to cover.
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated!
You hear that jingle? We could only be getting ready to talk about one thing.
Free ice cream. Oh,
no.
Wait. No, sorry. No. Wrong show.
Wrong show.
Wrong show.
How about Fantastic Flop?
Must we?
We must.
Okay.
Because apparently.
If we must.
Because apparently it's a mess. It's a super mess. It is a mess enough that even Coulson would say,
I've been authorized by Director Fury to use any means necessary to keep you on premises. If you attempt to leave or play any games, I will tase you and watch Super Nanny while you drool into the carpet.
Somehow I think being tased and watching Super Nanny while drooling on the carpet may be preferable.
That might be more entertaining, yes. Unfortunately for this one, the update to this story, as we were pulling it for the show, has been I guess the update has been courtesy of Simon Ginsberg, Fox PR, and Latino Review.
And you know you can trust everything that you hear from Latino Review.
No. Word around Fox is people are not happy with the Fantastic Four movie.
You're a regular listening to this show, you know that we're not happy.
No, we are not happy.
We're entertained by all these stories that, you know, foretell gloom and doom and dismal failure, but we're not happy.
No, if we had our choice. Yeah. Apparently, the film is going back for reshoots, and Louisiana sets are being rebuilt. And this is just a mess. Absolute mess. And this is supposed to come out this year?
If it does, it's not going to be till late this year. I don't know. There are times I just wonder if it's ever, really ever going to see any kind of release. Almost like the Nicolas Cage Superman. That supposedly was all this work was done on it, and they just said, you know what, we're not going to put this out.
I was
going
to relate it more to the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, which you could, if you go check out Doomed, the Untold Story of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four documentary, goes more into detail what happened there. But I mean, it's almost the same thing. They made the movie, had every, you know, did all the promotions and everything, and then they said, nope, that's it, done, thanks. And it never got released. I think, and speculation is that it was done to keep the movie rights with Fox. So, some have referred to Fantastic Flop as Chronicle 2, which I never saw the first Chronicle.
Yeah, I did.
I'm assuming this is not a good thing.
Yeah.
One well-connected senior executive described it as a mess, while multiple sources are saying that a major disquiet at Fox regarding the state of the movie is present. A year ago, the author of this story was directly told by primary sources that Fox were approaching other directors and writers to take on the project and start from scratch, though they didn't find anyone willing, and Fox is still denying this. As it stands, reshoots are now being demanded, that millions of dollars are being freed up for the purpose, and the sets are being rebuilt in Louisiana.
Okay, when I hear that millions of dollars are being freed up for reshoots, that tells me a lot, but it doesn't tell me anything good.
No.
No, if this is not just minor reshoots, this is not like just having somebody is like, well, we think we really need to trim up this one scene. No, you're spending millions of bucks. You're rebuilding entire sets. This movie is floundering. Yes, there's no other way you can say it. Yeah.
Oh, there's that way. They're saying, in comparison, the other non-Marvel Studios movie based on a Marvel comic, Kingsman, The Secret Service, has gone down very well indeed. Slightly dodgy, CGI possibly, but it's described as a real breath of fresh air. But Fantastic Four, and there's... You wouldn't find a breath of fresh air if you went to a bean-eating contest.
This movie to flatulence?
Yes, and that flatulence...
Are you saying that the bean-eating campfire scene in Blazing Saddles was more refreshing than this movie?
Has fresher air than what's happening with this movie.
Wow.
Yep. And I don't think there's any way Fox is going to be able to put a life model decoy on this movie and save it.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I don't think there's any saving this movie. I don't.
So, what have you heard about Scarlett Johansson and Civil War?
I have heard that she is actually back for Civil War. I have heard that, that she has agreed to return to play Black Widow for the fifth time, probably with the fifth different hairstyle as well. Now, this for Civil War, which comes out in 2016. Of course, you know, Age of Ultron coming out this year, so that's good. Right. This is coming from the daily.com, saying there was a brief period when fans thought Johansson might have been removed to make way for the Captain America versus Iron Man storyline in Civil War. So, you know, I say don't worry about that. Cap and Widow they made too good a team together to really weren't taking her out. And plus, she's too much of an A-lister.
Right.
Now, if you want to trim her storyline a little bit, yeah, go ahead. But I don't think you'll see her taken out entirely. I don't think that was ever a realistic expectation or concern.
Well, I guess other rumors going around. Spider-Man may be coming to Phase 3 of Marvel Studios Phase 3. The folks over at Latino Review are saying that the Sony deal went through and the character is set to make his Marvel Cinematic Universe in Avengers Infinity War Part 1. We discussed over on Weeby Geeks this week that there might be a loophole to this. While we might not, while Marvel Cinematic Universe might not be able to get Peter Parker and possibly might not be able to use the name Spider-Man.
Scarlet Spider?
They could possibly use Scarlet Spider or use Miles Morales.
That's a possibility. At this point where Spider-Man and Marvel Cinematic Universe are concerned, I've got to hear it from an official source. I cannot hear this from Latino Review and give it credibility.
Right.
Mainly just because so many rumors have flown around and they're on again, they're off again, they're on again, they're off again. And
well, Sony's denying the rumors still.
Well, of course Sony's denying it still. But really, at this point, do we need Spider-Man in the cinematic universe? Obviously, it can survive without him.
Right.
Now, am I saying I don't want him in there? No, because I'm a Spider-Man fan from way back. But while it would be awesome if he was, I think Sony needs him in the Marvel Cinematic Universe more than Marvel needs him in there.
I think so.
I mean, at this point, Spider-Man as a perk is not a necessity.
Right. I agree. I think a lot of it, though, could depend on how they play it out with Civil War. See how that plays out and some of the others. See if it's potentially a necessity. Or not a necessity, a good enhancement, I guess, to the Marvel Cinematic.
If you listen to Anthony Mackie, the guy who played Sam Wilson / Falcon in Winter Soldier, Civil War is quote unquote it's going to be Avengers 3.8.
Okay.
He said Cap 2 was really Avengers 1.5, so Cap 3 is going to be 3.8.
Okay, he and his numbering system.
You know, he's good for a soundbite, especially when you ask him about what goes on in the comic books with his character being the new Captain America. And the story that he gives involves, he'll give it, Cap will give the shield to Bucky. Bucky will give the shield back. He'll give it to somebody else, and they'll get the shield back. They'll give the shield back. He says, he gives it to me. He doesn't say he gives it to Falcon or he gives it to Sam. He says he gives it to me.
Right.
And I don't give it back. Do you think he just dropped a major spoiler? A major hint?
Quite possible.
He says that his new outfit is going to be a whole lot better than the last time we saw it.
I'm still kind of hoping to see a little bit of the red and white bird outfit.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that. It's understandable that, yes, given the storyline in Winter Soldier, they didn't have a whole lot of time to really work on the suit.
Right.
So basically it was just like, hey, let me get my harness, and oh yeah, I'll probably need a set of goggles because, I'll be flying fast.
Right.
So, and plus Winter Soldier trashed it. So you got to figure if Cap puts in a good word, says, hey, Tony, how about hook my friend here up? He says, okay, well, we'll get started on that. We'll get you a new suit. We'll get you a much better suit. And of course, with it being Stark, there's going to be some stylistic touches.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, of course, I guess the last bit of news we got is Clark Gregg was talking over the weekend about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Inhumans, and possibly a big screen return of Agent Coulson. I'm excited about that.
That needs to happen. That really does need to happen.
Yeah, of course, we saw on S.H.I.E.L.D., they opened up the whole Inhuman universe, so to speak, yeah. Or opened up that door. I wouldn't say opened up that door. Threw the door open, maybe even knocked it off its hinges.
Yeah, that door just had the hinges taken off and just, yeah.
According to Coulson, Inhumans represents a different chapter for the show. At least in the comics, the Inhumans, they're a race of people who've transformed. They're mutants, more or less. I've always loved that part of the comics. They're people who have evolved differently that generates a lot of fear. Some people want to annihilate them. Some people want to lock them up. Some people want to register them. Some of them become superheroes. Some become monsters. I find that particularly germane. Are we going to accept the people who are different, or are we going to try and wipe them out? I'm excited by it. I think Inhumans is a big, cool part of the Marvel Universe, a great story, and will set up something. And we'll set up something. We'll get to explore it. I'm glad they're entrusting us with it. And I think that they're going to take what they're going to do with it, and that will, and it will connect. And yet we'll have the freedom. We'll have the freedom to kind of make our show be our show.
Okay. I have said in the past, Civil War was a movie that cannot be made while Fox still had Mutes and X-Men.
Right.
Because they played such a big role in the comic version of Civil War. Okay, let me throw this scenario out here for you. Okay, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they've opened the door for the Inhumans. In Age of Ultron, somebody releases a Terrigen Mist Bomb, a T-Bomb.
Right.
And that creates all these Inhumans that by the time Civil War comes out, that's the problem.
Right.
And so, yes, congratulations, Marvel. You just ran an endgame around the X-Men and cut them out of something that played a huge part in the comics. So,
Have they proven they could do Civil War without the X-Men, without Spider-Man? Apparently so, with making Inhumans the focus, or a potential focus, and instead of calling them mutants, calling them Inhumans.
Yeah, I mean, with these T-bombs and these Terrigen Mists, you've pretty much given a population of super beings.
Right.
So, yeah. Of course, then there's the question of, you remember what happened when they touched the Diviner?
Oh, yeah.
And what happened when Trip touched the Diviner? Okay. Do these mists do the same thing to people who, quote unquote, aren't worthy?
Quite possible.
So, if there's a lot of death that's attributed to the same event, the same catalyst that creates these supers, yeah, there's going to be a strong anti-Inhuman sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as it ties back to Coulson, Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., there's got to be a payoff scene where Coulson reveals himself to the Avengers, because he was the common thread in all of Phase One.
Right.
He knows them all. You can't have an Avengers movie without him in it.
If they don't put him in Avengers Age of Ultron, I think he needs to make that appearance in Civil War. And come back saying, yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still around.
Now, if this scenario plays out, if we're right here, that the Inhumans are going to be used as in place of the mutants, then I don't see how you don't bring him into it.
Right. Well, at this point in time, I don't see, especially after Winter Soldier, I'm curious how they're going to address S.H.I.E.L.D. in Age of Ultron. Because at this point in time, it's known Coulson is the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So at this point in time, unless the Avengers were sharing the same galaxy as the Guardians, one of them's got to now know Coulson's alive.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to find out. Somebody has got to find out. And he's got to spill the beans. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not in any way rebounded enough to play any kind of major role in it.
No.
But Coulson's team could.
They could
lend a hand on a limited scale. Yes.
I agree. So, I think that almost covers everything from Level 7, our bonus material, bonus stories for the week.
Our DVD extras.
The DVD extras. A little behind the scenes, maybe. I think that wraps it up for us, doesn't it?
I think so.
So we'll end it here. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging in with us for the bonus material, or coming and finding the bonus material, the 11th, you know, access to level 7 on the podcast side of things. Check out our Facebook page. You'll see the new series we're going to start doing on Thursdays, or Eric's going to start doing because he's got the cards. I don't. Of in honor of the 25th anniversary of the cards.
It is the 25th anniversary. You know how people are doing like Throwback Thursday all over right. Facebook. We're doing a little twist on that. This is the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Marvel trading card set. So we'll be putting out a new card each week. We've got, since we are 4 weeks into the new year, there are four pictures up on, there are four cards on the Facebook page now.
Started off right.
Yeah, we started off with one of the holographic cards. And let me tell you something, holograms don't quite scan very well, but this one turned out okay. It's one of Magneto. Okay. There were actually five in the set. Then we had card number one, which is Captain America, card number four, which is Daredevil, and card number seven, which is Professor Xavier. Now, in case you're noticing, well, you're skipping around a little bit. Well, there's a reason. I don't have a complete set. And the complete set was like 161, but I do have enough. I got 53, 54 of them to where we can do one every week this year.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
And I've also got the 1991 set, which in my opinion is a little bit cooler looking set. So we can do this next year too.
Excellent. Well, also check out on Facebook. It's a design. Right now it's shown on a hockey jersey, but it's a design that we could easily translate over to a baseball shirt or a soccer jersey or maybe a football jersey. We'll get the polls up probably in the next couple weeks after I get an idea of pricing as well. But yeah, I think we're going to offer some sort of Mighty Marvel Geeks jersey.
I saw that earlier today, and I think they look pretty sweet.
When you look at it, yes, you are not seeing things. They kind of a comic strip look in the striping.
Mm-hmm.
And the half toning on the sleeves, it turned out great. So I thank the fine folks over at Athletic Knit for that. And so, yeah, we'll do a poll, see what we can do. Because if everyone wants to do a hockey jersey first, well, we have to order 12 hockey jerseys for the initial order. After that, later down the road, if someone goes, you know, hey, I missed out on the hockey jerseys, I'd like to get one, we could say,
sure,
and just order the one. But we got to order the 12 first. Same thing with any other style jersey we go with. We have to get the initial order of 12 for that style. Then we could go back and just do ones for pop out. So if you are interested, participate in our questioning when we get to that point of what style jersey you might want to start off with first. And if you're interested, hang with us and let's get these jerseys ordered and start seeing them out there.
Sounds good.
So on that note, I'm going to say Jarvis, if you will, and we're going to wrap it up here and shut down, shut down our remote base and
go dark again.
Well, we already went dark, but
go darker.
Okay. So Jarvis, if you will.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.